everyone, welcome to yet another episode of Contact Lost, the Polish podcast about Warhammer 40k, competitive Warhammer 40k, where we discuss everything that surrounds Warhammer 40k on the competitive scene, be it in Poland or abroad. However, we tend to brutally capitalize on the fact that Poland has just won the WTC, and we have started a series called Veni, Vidi, Vici, which is basically a series documenting the Polish achievements at the WTC. We have already had an interview with Pumba. We have already had an interview with Gito. That, I don't know if that is live yet. That might be that might go live soon. And now, today, we have a very special guest to talk about his performance and his list. And yeah, this will be a two-parter. So in the first part, I will introduce the guest in a moment, and then we will talk about his performance at the WTC and how he got chosen for the team and how the team fared at the event. And then in the second part, we will go into his list, which is Gene Stealer Cults, and we will do a deep dive on that, and we will try to deliver a masterclass where Joker and myself, we will torpedo our guest with questions about the army, and then hopefully we can get some deep insights about how the army plays, how to use it, at least before the nerf that potentially is coming, but we shall see. Anyway,
or after.
So having heard the army, you probably know who we are interviewing already, or just by looking at the title of this episode, because it's pre-recorded. Still, I need to do the due introduction. So, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome the Polish savior, the redeemer, the almighty, the new king of kings after dethroning Liam Hackett. Ladies and gentlemen, Joker and myself, we are proud to present my son. Welcome, dude.
Hello, everyone.
Jesus of Polish 40k.
The Jesus of Polish 40k. Okay.
If you... come on, I got like 10 nicknames, and all of that you said are really new. So I just...
So, to those more
religious... At least we stopped
ones...
the joke of my son.
It had to, it had to happen.
It will go. It will be back, for
yeah.
Sure.
It is now, thanks, Joker. But if anyone is a little bit like religious savvy, you probably have figured out that I have just Googled all the titles of Jesus Christ, because I do believe that my son is of a similar statue to, or statute to, that guy in the Polish Warhammer 40k scene. So without further ado, my son, let's start with maybe the first question. Has the Polish team already had their debrief session? Like, and what does something like that look like for a team that is so successful, that has won the event? Is it like, yeah, well done, guys, bye? Or is there actually some sort of a discussion around the performance, how you did, and what the plan for the next year is?
So we didn't have a full team debrief session yet. Maybe we'll do something like that. We did something with Pumba and Duda on our internal channels, so we can just like make a retrospective about what went well, what can be improved, because there's always something to improve. We found out potential upgrades to our selection process, if we decide, of course, to apply for selectors next season. Mm-hmm. We do have some kind of a retrospective, but not to the whole team. It's still too soon. We're taking rest after WTC, and the final sprint before WTC was so exhausting. So I needed to take a break. Mm-hmm. Now I'm back. So
yeah, that's perfectly understandable.
So can you share any insights on the potential improvements? I mean, it's. Obviously, you have to do that if you want to be consistent in winning. But
I think I will
after just having
for,
won,
I will leave that for public announcement, because this is being prepared and our conclusion to our community. We can share it also later somewhere. But just
fair enough.
It is being finalized today, so the conclusions. So I will. I will not spoil it.
Yeah, it's too early to say. All right, so instead of going there, let's go back a little bit, perhaps, and let's talk a little bit about your role in the selection of the team. So you, Pumbaa, and Duda, you were the three captains, let's say. Well, captains is probably not the best word, but let's say people who are responsible for the selection of the national team. What
we used to have the word selectors.
I mean, I somehow don't like the ring of that word, but yeah, I guess for
me
for,
neither. But
I think captains are fine because
so captains, yeah, let's
yeah, stick because let's stick all of us like worked like as a captain in different events, different screens, but all of us did some work as a captain.
So let's stick to captains because it just yeah. sounds better. The three of you were captains, but I understand every single one of you played a role and every single one of you had an opinion of their own. So what did you bring to the captain's committee and what were your requirements for the team members that you were going to select?
Okay, so first of all, my responsibility here was to work on team composition along with Pumbaa and take my experience from the last year and just share the experience with Pumbaa, try to basically working on team composition. That's the first thing. The second thing is of course assessing player capabilities, and my responsibility was also to train with selected players and prepare them for hard matchups. So, for example, I organized a couple of meetings, especially with Victor, and we trained for like a really long time, different matchups, different kinds of scenarios, and just preparing for the matchups that could happen in the pairing process, and to be sure that the estimations are good. Because there are always a couple of matchups that define the pairing process, and we need to make sure that we know what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. So does the preparation with Victor imply that you were playing GSC, he was playing Custodes, or are we talking different armies, different matchups?
Yeah, we also took different armies, like training with Grey Knights list from USA, because it was like... on the paper, it looked like, okay, this list doesn't do anything. We need to find out what's the purpose of this list. Mm-hmm. So we needed to find out how it works and prepare ourselves for the payback. So I took Grey Knights, played this against Victor, against Duda. We had a 5-day team meeting in Poznan, just to prepare for such non-standard lists.
Mm-hmm. So was it a tough nut to crack to actually find out what the Grey Knights list does, or did you not know what it does until the very event?
I think we found out the core assumptions of the list. We didn't knew how to play it extremely well, because it's never possible to... In this example, the list was so not standard, so nobody in Poland played such a list, and nobody can play it in optimal way before playing like 10, 20 games. And like none of us could spare time for 10 games with the list that is not their own, because we need to prepare ourselves as well. So that's always a problem. So I wouldn't say that we prepared it and we knew everything about that particular list, but we trained with that and just prepared ourselves for basic stuff.
Okay, so how quickly, I don't know if quickly is the right word, but how early did you know and did the guys on the team know which armies you were going to play? Was that established way before the list submission deadline, or did some of the players wait until the very last moment to pick their armies? And then why did you pick those and not other armies?
So after dropping of the 10th edition, after basically a couple of days, we already knew where the most powerful armies are. Mm-hmm. So we picked up the craft rolls, we picked up GSC. Also a little bit skeptical at first at GSC, but then I just did some math about demo charges, but
and played the shit out of it.
Yeah, and tried how it works. And we already knew that a couple of these armies will. We have already players for that, like Custodes for Richter, like GSC for me, like Craftfuls for Judah. Then we found out a couple of more days, and then we found out Thousand Suns as well. So Pumbaa took Thousand Suns, and so on and so on. So basically, majority of players got their army selected in the early phase. But then we needed to pick last two or three armies for the rest, and there were some decisions to be made. And for that, to make this decision, we needed to, because we already knew that every opponent, every team will have like five top armies. So the results depends basically on the last three two picks in the team composition. And we needed to find out which are better picks, especially in the pairing process, play test it to have answer for everything. As an example, I can just say about our pick for Space Marines list. Because everyone were considering Death Watch as a top pick. And we did our research with Dark Angels. So Lesio got his list of Dark Angels list, which was also really nice. We did like two events, two tournaments, team tournaments in Poland. One with Polish tournament and one international. And we tested, on the first one, we tested Dark Angels, then we tested Death Watch. We saw how the both armies operate in the pairing process, and then decided that Death Watch is not a good pick for pairings, because basically this army got one really good pairing, like mm-hmm. into GSC, but no captain, no pairing guy from the other team will give their GSC to Death Watch. And we knew because it just this would be the one pairing that GSC will always avoid. And if there's no second hard counter, it's really hard to just justify the need of Death Watch in the team. And the rest of the pairings for Death Watch are like okay, but in the end, it occurs that basically majority of armies can just win against Death Watch. It's not a problem. So we took our Dark Angels list, which was a little bit surprising, Land Rider stuff, but I will just leave that to Lesio. So
yeah, we are aiming to have him on, so I think some time will get devoted to the Land Rider Redeemer. Mm-hmm.
And the last pick in the team composition that we considered was the Eighth Army. And it was a really mess to find out what's the best. We considered Tyranids, Chaos Space Marines, and then after our Pyro Cup tournament, the tournament that we played with just before the list submissions, it was a tournament with five international teams, and we play tested our ideas against each other. So we found out that Tau list can get quite nice results and quite nice damage output and can be a surprising pick. So we decided to go for Tau because neither of our ideas for Tyranids and Chaos Space Marines worked well. At this stage, I just must admit that we completely omitted Orcs, which we were surprised by USA build for Orcs. We didn't expect that to happen, and we didn't foresee it happening in our preparation stage. So that was maybe a mistake, because after the event, I think that our eighth pick should be Orcs, like USA Orcs list.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that? Did Tau not actually work well in pairings? Did it not work well enough on the table, or?
I mean, Tau is actually, it was a good pick. It was okay pick, but it was not optimal pick. We did have some problems with pairings, which could have been avoided while having Ox.
Okay.
Just having the additional option for defender, it would be better in the pairings.
Okay. So I understand that orcs, I mean, they caught everyone by surprise at the event because many people, apart from the teams who took them and were successful with them, many teams did not anticipate that orcs can do so well in this meta, but they did. However, I wanted to ask about a different army, which is Chaos Knights. And why was that somehow bypassed or omitted by the Polish national team? I mean, I know Typhus is an enthusiast. I know that Duda plays them. Did they not fit the team composition, or was there something more to it?
I think the major decision from our team composition perspective was to just avoid knights, both flavors, because of the tables.
Okay.
The tables, maps that arrived, I don't know when, but it was quite late, but the maps are so dense that it's really hard to operate with knights. And they are not as tough as they can be. We expected that everyone from top teams will have at least two counters to knight heavy list, because we already knew Imperial Knights operates on high, very high in tier lists. So everyone will be prepared for that. And it's a big problem to pair properly if we need to really focus to not get a bad table, because bad table for Imperial Knights, Renegade Knights, it's just a game. It can be a game loss. That was our perspective. Mm-hmm. I think it's not a bad list. It's not a bad pick, but I personally do not consider it as a really good optimal pick. Just seeing how the game operates right now, I'm still a little bit skeptical about Renegade Knights as well.
So you wouldn't still consider them as for an eighth pick?
For eighth pick, no, I don't think so.
Even to counter GSC, like, I don't know, the Australians, I guess, assumed it would work like that. And I think it worked quite well as a GSC counter.
I personally, I don't agree with that. And we just discussed this with Duda. Mm. If GSC, for example, wins a roll-off, and there's you just block the entire table, and knights never go. Goes off.
Okay.
Deployment zone. So it's not risk. A counter. It's a risk counter, because there are two different GSC lists. So Abrams list and non-Abrams list, and they work quite differently. What can they do on the table? And for example, my list was like more bodies on the table, and I can easily use them to block Renegade Knights, and that there are just no. They don't have much damage output to kill everything.
Mm-hmm. All right, and just to scratch my personal itch here, what was the Tyranid list that you were Crazy was testing?
The first one was Thermagon spam, like I think also mm-hmm. Australia have, and yep. There was something else, like nothing near Naden's list from mm-hmm. USA, but I don't remember correctly.
Okay, let's take that offline then. I love that race. All right. Okay, Joker, do you want to shoot with the next question, or should I?
You can go.
Okay.
Again.
So, before we go to your list and we go to some of the matchups, perhaps, and so on. This is a question that we sort of asked already. But what are your personal thoughts about improvements for next year? So I'm not asking about like specific ideas for team selection, perhaps, but could more be done in terms of researching into other teams? Could more be done into finding out what others are doing? Maybe bring more coaches or some of the meta stuff, not specifically team building, but everything maybe around the team that helped you this year.
First of all, we need to find out how to have more manpower in community. That's for sure.
But what do you mean by manpower? Like candidates for the national team?
Like
or...
candidates who can actually test ideas. Because we lacked, for example, we have quite small community, so we couldn't find one person per army to play this when a 10th edition dropped. That is a really big problem, at least in our community. So we lack people to work on the as a community on the ideas and solutions. On just it's hard to find out everything that's on the table. It's really also hard to spy other teams because they are just keeping secrets their best ideas. Like, well, as well, we do this as well, so that's quite normal. I don't think just spying on the singles list is relevant because singles lists are all never the same as teams. You always need to put some different solutions. So one thing that I would like to work on is to how to increase our manpower for preparation phase. I still don't have an idea how to do that, but I think it's a matter of game promotion, working with local communities just to find out some new people coming to the team.
So do you think that your success at the WTC can help that? Or do you already have any idea how to capitalize on that success?
I think so, because we got quite nice response from people that are either they are new and got interested after our win, and got interested in the game. They want to see how it works, and it's just to hear the story about how the WTC operates and how it works, how amazing event it is. And older player who dropped the game and are going back, so we can find out some old stars from that could be maybe will go back.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, Joker, go on.
Yeah, so last year you finished second. This year you've managed to win. So essentially, were there any lessons learned that you were able to apply for this year, or was it just more grinding out before the actual event that allowed you guys to bring home the win?
So are you asking what was improved from last year?
Yeah, exactly.
I think the most important fact was that we all took a bigger team this year. What we lacked last year was our coaches, a couple of coaches, additional coaches, because we did have two coaches then. But two more would be allow us to, first of all, spy on Australians, and secondly, check the results from the previous rounds. And it will be just enough to for our payment process, just to find out that we need to take double care about what Australians can do and prepare ourselves just better, because we are surprised, but non-standard list, we are already tired and they were just better prepared for us last year. And this year we took bigger team, so we got our head coach who was responsible for keeping track of the games and just managing the team in hard time, like USA, and then we got our spies in the event, so we could use them to just to check on the top teams how they are doing, and find out some secrets on their lists, how they operate. Of course, the other teams also spied on us, so the USA sent a dedicated spy for me. That was a really funny experience.
Did you take it as a compliment, or
yeah.
Or did it like stress you out?
No. I think I stressed the spy. Just challenged him with the photo. Hey, mate, are you spying on me?
I don't know. I mean, I know you for quite a while. At least that's the impression I have, and I just can't imagine you bullying someone. So I don't know. Way too nice for that.
How did we play a game once?
All right.
We did once, but that's not relevant for this. I got a follow-up. And what do you think of the event itself? I mean, did this year's event make like a bigger impression, or maybe did you get the feeling that the level of play in general at the event has risen, or any thoughts on that?
About the event, from the perspective how the event looks like, it's still, I think, last year I said this, and this year I will also say it. This is the best time in the year for me. Like this, a couple of days having just meeting everyone, and atmosphere at the event, and all the socializing stuff is just amazing. And how everyone is just happy to be there. How the just gentlemen's play is applied there. It's just amazing. And if I have to compare last year with this year, I would say that it's hard for me, because last year was my first time, and now I took some experience. So I think that this year was easier for me, less stressful than before. But yeah, it's really hard for me to compare. Right now, I would say last year was harder for me, and this year was easier. So
what do you think about the next year, if we assume that you want to go and you want to be part of the national team? Do you think that this will be more difficult because the expectations, you know, the bar is set extremely high and the expectations will be high as well? Or no stress at all because you've already achieved it? So if you don't achieve it again, whatever.
I think there will be always a stress, just because there are just no other option. We need to win the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because we couldn't be just worse. So my motivation is high for now, just to prepare myself and stuff. But also I took a really great experience this year, so I wouldn't think, if I'm on the team next year, I'll do my best to win the game. And that's the one thing I would like to say.
Mm-hmm. All right.
When coming to tournaments, I always play play my best and do my best to try to win the event.
So in order to segue into talking about your army and some of your games, perhaps, I'll ask this. Having come back home, having had some time to sum everything up and so on, are you 100% happy with your performance, or do you also have some regrets, like something didn't go according to plan, or you could have paired yourself into someone else differently, your estimation might not have been 100% accurate? Were there any things that from time perspective you think could have gone better, or was it like top-notch 100% exactly as planned?
I'm not proud of myself in USA game.
Oh, okay, yeah. Why exactly? What went wrong?
Yeah, so first of all, my estimation was wrong about the pairing. It comes with the plan for the game was also prepared for the estimation. And that's my, my problem, my flaw that I need to work on. If I estimate too high, I set up a plan to how to win the game. And this time, when playing GSC versus Tyranids, I just realized too late to work to play it differently. I could have just scored more points if I was aware how the pairing work properly. But it all comes back to the topic of our manpower, because there was no option to just, and time, basically time was an issue to play this properly. And this particular Tyrant, at least, if played to perfection, can just win with GSC. It serves as a counter to GSC, but not, it's not an obvious counter. I knew that what are the threats, but played the game with just wrong assumptions, and also just played poorly due to the stress, and just I was too tired at this point. And the opponent is really challenging, so I think.
Yeah, you could get a more difficult opponent than Sean Naden, I guess, in that matchup.
Yeah.
No, go on. Finish.
Yeah, I just lost my phone. But basically, this is the one game that went wrong for me. But I just recovered from that really fast and just prepared myself for the last two games in the day number four. This is the thing that I could have just done better. That's why. But I took a lesson. Lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
And next time I will just beat him.
Fingers crossed.
Definitely. I just realized that we talked about your co-captain role before the event, but not during the event. So, like, what was your responsibility during the actual tournament?
So during the actual tournament, I was just sitting next to Bumba during the pairing process and just consulting pairings with him. I rolled a die for first defender, the first table pick.
Most important role.
Yeah,
but yeah, most important role. Yeah,
because you can't really have Pumba rolling dice, right?
Yeah, you can't have Pumba rolling that. really.
Roll to save his life.
Just someone needed to take this responsibility, and it was this year.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but basically, pairings, consulting pairings, checking out some ideas, and just giving people advice how to deal with particular threats, especially when other GSC comes. So that was the zero.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before actual games start, is there room for like a pep talk with each player to actually give like last tips against if they were going against GSC, for example? Is there room for that? Is it allowed actually to like give hints, etc.?
Before the game starts?
Mm-hmm.
Before the game.
After pairings, but before rolling dice.
During the game when the first dice is rolled, it's not allowed. But
okay.
Every one of us is on the table right then. So, But usually it's not. This discussion comes not after the pairings; it comes during the pairings, just when we know that we can select something, pick this or this, and then we consult everything with the player. That time, because it's usually just a minute or two talk. Not much, because at this point you can't do much.
Right. And did you change your pairing strategy after the pot phase? Was that a thing? Or was it just...
No, we did... All of our pairings were just according to the plan. So we planned for the top teams to switch our defender, because from the table it was just better option. And we we tried to hide that idea in the bot phase. So.
Okay.
Because we already knew that every top team will have two counters, two answers for a Custodes defender, and we couldn't just play Custodes as first defender, We needed to sacrifice some other army, and it was our Necrons.
But I understand that playing Custodes in the Podface as the first defender was still safe, looking at the matrix, or was it a bit of a risk still?
No, it was quite safe. Okay. Because there were some flaws in team composition from our pot opponents, so they didn't have like strict answer to Custodes. Mm-hmm. Like for example, like we did have two answers for Custodes defender, mm-hmm. which you can see after our match with England. You can see how it ended when they came out with Custodes first defender.
Mm-hmm.
Still not sure why they chose Skark, but oh well.
No idea.
Exactly. All right, then Maison, I have this question that I was wondering, and maybe you will be the first one to answer this. Do players like yourself, so players on the highest level, winners of WTC, when they prepare their list, do they netlist? So have you ever like seen an interesting list online and borrowed it? Or do you come up with your list yourself? And was the list for the WTC your own creation? Or was it influenced by some other teams? Or
I think it's a really wrong question to ask at the point of 10th edition. Because usually there's just after index phase, there's just one or two lists from every faction.
That functions.
So that's for GSC, after a couple of tests, it was obvious that there are just two lists there and everything else is just a minor tweaks. But answering your question, I do borrow some lists, but I always just take a look on them, and usually I just break some ideas just to fit my playstyle. It's sometimes more time efficient just to see the other's idea. For this year, for example, I also consulted this with colleagues from different teams, like trusted guys. We just shared our ideas, some of our ideas. Just discuss it, how it works on the table. It was just like time efficient to have at least two or three people sharing their results from the games and their estimations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've been playing GSC for a longer while. I think throughout the entire season or year, I don't know even how to call it properly, but you've been to many like international events with GSC.
Yep.
Are you looking forward to a change? Are you looking forward to the upcoming patch to maybe make AdMech stronger, or do you want to stick to the GSC?
Come on, it's not the same GSC.
It's
completely different army. It's completely different feeling. I much prefer the previous version. This 10th edition GSC is just boring and flat. So yeah, I do hope for a change. So, give me some like more skillful. Oh, maybe. It's still skill-wise our army. It's still required to do micromanagement well and. But the most pairings, the easiest pairings, the hard part is just to define two targets for demo charges and in the correct order. And that's basically playing GSC. Just put some models on the table, roll some dice, destroy the opponent. For the easiest pairings. For the tough matchups, it's different because you need to pay attention to micromanagement as well. So. But I hope that something will change. AdMech, I think, is really in really poor position right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was not considered by us just by looking at the index and seeing the results. It was like dropped from any team composition ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like strict to just to a single to a specific army. I just don't like. I like armies that can break some core game mechanics that allow actually to that can move or on the table. So no Death Guard for me ever. sorry for all Death Guard lovers. I will not produce any Death Guard list in my career. Or maybe if they get just like double move or immobile.
Sounds very likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the first army that didn't get the proper, like, what do you call it, the army flavor, so why not?
maybe in the future. Yeah, but still, I'm being called a power gamer, so I'll always pick a top meta, one of the top meta picks for me, especially for singles.
Okay.
And I have, like, a lot of armies in boxes. So when the change come,
you'll be ready.
I'll manage.
You're ready, yeah.
I'll be ready. Yeah, the best part of having GSC play being played by me for a year. It was not actually a year, less than a year, but a long time. Is that I just already have nearly all models painted, so. No painting.
You're ready
no,
for
no
everything.
Painting. Yeah, no painting needed for WTC. It was really amazing experience. Let's focus on the games.
Yeah, I understand the words, but I don't understand the sentence. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, I think it's the time to talk a little bit about the list that you brought to the event.
So, only a little, though.
Yeah, only a little, because we need to leave something for part two. But you said that there were two variants of GSC possible to take. Could you maybe expand on that a little bit? Like, what were the variants? Why did you choose one over the other one?
So, there's one sentence, aberrant or no aberrant. That's basically the decision that you need to make when considering GSC list. Because we already knew that Acolytes are just really good units, and there is a need to have four units of Acolytes bomb squads in every list. And then you need to have some board presence, so at least two, three squads of Neophytes, some characters, and then you go either aberrant or more Neophytes. That's mm-hmm. the decision. And the list just works differently because you either you put focus on board presence or something that can push the opponent and try to work to score more points. Similarly to our Space Marines list, I also have had two events. One event I took and played with I played with Aberrant's list, and the other one I played with no Aberrant's list. And my conclusion from having all these games was like Aberrant's list can score higher points, but it's less stable. Neophytes list will not score really big wins because you can't actually push the, especially on the stable, it's really hard to push the opponent if he screens out properly. So it will work more stable. It will win, but not that much. Also, so that was the first decision point, was to go for more stable option, just to always deliver points, not to risk like aberrants failing a roll on for up, not coming back, or failing a charge turn one, and yeah. And the second decision point was after doing some pairings, test pairings, we came out to the conclusion that usually in the last four picks, there are craft rolls, GSC on the table from both teams. So it is very likely that GSC will get a mirror matchup, and it's very likely GSC will get a craft rolls matchup. So we needed to prepare for that, and aberrants just don't work in mirror, because you can easily just like 400 points package just gets blown up by Acolyte Squad. That's all that you need to do, basically, to just not to kill the entire squad. Yeah, it's not to kill the entire squad, but just to reduce them to just manageable size that you can just ignore for the rest of the game, because they have two aberrants, what they can do. They will fail Battle Shock and they're basically done. And also, the latest Neophytes got a place for Clamor Boost that it's necessary in the mirror. It doesn't save, like, make the mirror matchup easy, but you need to have this just to secure blips in the backfield. And for Craftwolf's matchup, also board presence is more like, my opinion is that Aberrants just do nothing, because they got hit by a Night Spinner minus two to move, and you're basically sitting with Aberrants in one place and waiting for Vade Knight to come and kill them. So that's how it works. So that was the second decision point that concluded me taking Neophyte spam list.
So speaking of the Elder matchup, is there actually room for GSC being a counter of sorts to Eldar, or did you not consider it this way?
I played two times Elders at the event, and it was two wins versus Spain and versus Finland. Yeah, we already knew that in the other communities, and in USA, in France, in UK, GSC were considered as some kind of a counter to Craft Wolves, but we really play tested that with Duda also during a weekend at my place. We needed to find out how exactly it works. And after playing with Duda a couple of times, after analyzing different lists, we knew that it's totally list dependent, because it totally depends how the list is constructed, the craft rule list is constructed. If they don't have, like, apart from Raid Knight, if you don't have, like, Raid Guards or other hard brick to remove, it can be very easy to GSC to flood the table, to just kill everything but Raid Knight, ignore the Raid Knight, sit on the objectives, win the game. Like, USA list was the first one to play test against our GC, and I managed to win that matchup. And then, for example, UK list, which is was double Raid Knight
and Avatar of Kane.
Yeah, and 10 Raid Guard squad. Yeah, 10 man Raid Guard squad. So four hard to remove bricks that can just move on the objectives and just win the game by their own. And in this particular matchup, really, there's a couple of, like, random match moments that dice are really, really important. For example, you drop Echo Squad near the Raid Knight or somewhere else, you get overwatched by Raid Knight. So on the average, they kill, like, 7 Acolytes. And it's not enough, just 3 demo charges left, 3 demo charges, just do the job. But if you get lucky, you can just kill the entire squad of demo charges. And they are doing nothing. And there are a couple of these binary moments in the game, 1-0 moments that can just wreck the game in different ways. Especially when you have, like, this UK list 4 bricks that can. I played this game, test game with Duda, and, for example, two times in a row, my just Echo Squad got wrecked by Overwatch. And that was just game over. It depends on the couple of decisions, how the other player approaches the game, but you can always make some mistakes. So, this is a very interesting matchup, and not every Craft Wolves list you can't win with every Elder list. You can have a game, but it's a game. It's not something like no game like majority of Eldari matchups.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, having decided on the list, what was your role in the pairings process then? Was it designed to counter any specific armies or just
being
a hitter to bring as much points as possible? Or
what it was some kind of universal attacker. So we knew that we will not use the GNC as defender because I don't care about the table. I just drop from every angle. So in the pairing process, I was an attacker to opponents' ideas. Didn't want to have to lose points on such a heater army, so we avoided being an attacker to Custodes because it didn't make sense. That's why we prepared also two counters to Custodes. We didn't want to pair GSC into Necrons because it was a drawish matchup. We wanted to use GSC to threaten, for example, some kinds of elders, low tier lists, and for example, if somebody took Tau, it's a 20-0 for GSC in no other way. And until you have GSC on hand, Tau cannot be a defender. Such minor things that just worked in the pairings.
Okay.
Do we want to briefly go through the list, without any extreme detail of what the units do, but to people who are not familiar with GSC, but might be face them at a tournament next weekend, for example, what is one of the army archetypes that people could potentially face?
So you mean was the tactics or the list composition?
No, the list composition. We will go into the tactics in part two. So, by the way, anyone who is interested how Myson played his list that we will hear about in a moment, we will put that episode on our Patreon. So if you want to get early access to that, do consider supporting us via Patreon. Go to our page that is linked in the description of this video. There are different tiers that you can choose from that grant you different benefits, but it could be early access to the masterclasses, it could be access to our Discord, it could be some gadgets. So make sure that you read through them, pick something of your liking, and then that will help us greatly to improve our quality and to bring you more content on a fairly regular basis, and also go to events and cover them for you. So right now, we will discuss the list and then all the tactics, all the use of stratagems and what have you, anything that might come in handy when playing a list like Myson's will be on our Patreon, so do check it out. Myson, sorry, go ahead.
List composition. Like I said, 4 times Echo Squad, necessary in every composition of GSC, in my opinion. And then I took 4 20-man squads of Neophytes. There's one with lasers just to have some other flavor, just to have some 4 shots with something else than seismics. 10-man squads of Neophytes, just mission stuff, and then a set of characters. So 3 times Primus, because it's a huge force multiplier. It's working having additional Neophyte squad. 2 times Nexus for doubling stratagems use and tactics. And then 2 Saboteurs, because the Saboteurs are just amazing. 3 is too much, but 2 work amazing. And in the end, there were 2 Reach Runners, one with inner cover, one with Spotter. One was used by me more aggressively, just pushing forward to get some early objective and have something tough on it. And the other one was just to put additional AP on one target on the table, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all.
So when you saw that is one of the list archetypes that we discussed. There is the other one with the aberrants as well. Was there any variation from those two archetypes when you looked at the army compositions that other teams brought, was there anything that caught you by surprise?
No, not by surprise, because all of the variants I also considered, and it all depends on the playstyle. For example, you can put one Rechanner out and put additional 5-man squad of Acolytes in. Some minor decisions where to put upgrades, like Meticulous Planner or the one that just the agents of Vect, basically, so plus one CP. Where to put infiltration, because some of the players just decided to go infiltration on Tlamagus, which I didn't like, because it just doesn't work on the mirror, because in this particular matchup in the mirror, you need your Tlamagus on your backfield, not in the front on the front lines. But it all depended on the player playstyle, I guess.
Okay, I think this is a great way to wrap up the episode, and we will move on to part two, where we will discuss the tactics and then all that jazz. But before we do, Myson, is there any place that you would want to direct our viewers and listeners' attention to find out about the progress of the Polish national team or any updates from the Polish national team, how they are doing and so on?
First of all, there's where to track us. First of all, is Team Poland 40K Facebook page. Also, our podcast on YouTube. Unfortunately, they are usually in Polish. Maybe in the future we'll make something in English. It's some good content. And if you want to meet us and play with us, we'll be organizing a couple of events in Poland. I will be organizing like three tournaments in the season. One will be in October, when I already just today I invited a couple of teams from other national teams to the event, and there will be for sure one event organized by me. It will be HB8 tournament in February, and I will also invite a couple of teams there.
So will that be like an invitational, or can people also go somewhere online and find information about it?
I guess I haven't made the final decision about that. I guess four teams will be invited for sure, and four teams will be like open. We'll see. But you can keep track of it, and for sure I will just, if something is open, I will always put it on WTC Discord in upcoming events. And there will be some advertising done. The nearest one, so the one happening on October, is already on the Discord channel, and this is an open event for everyone. So if you want to play with us and see how the Polish competitive community works, you're all invited. Just assemble a team of 5-man killers and
face you directly. I think there is no better way than to do just that. So we encourage everyone to come to Polish events, to meet the Polish national team, because I mean, if you want to learn something, play the champs. We can use that phrase for a year now, at least, hopefully for more. Myson, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for this. In a moment, we will tune in or tune over to our second part, to record all the spicy details about GSC. So to our listeners, do follow the link in the description if you want to support us. Also, you can find us on any other social media and so on. So make sure that you follow us there. Leave a review, leave a thumbs up or whatever the social media allows you to do, because that helps us grow, that helps us to improve, that helps us to reach new audiences as well. So we would be much obliged for that kind of help.
Help us reach 1,000 subscribers on YouTube before the OGT. That's our goal now for growth, and we'll see.
By the way, now that you mention, my son, you will be playing at the OGT, right?
Yeah.
But will you only be the invitational? So I guess there is a small percentage of probability that we will face each other. Sorry, I'm playing the invitational as well.
Yeah, and are you in the amateur bracket or pro bracket?
beats me, I'm in the pro bracket. So
okay, I'm in an amateur bracket. So
I have no freaking idea how that works. To me, it still sounds like some sort of a freak fight show, like, you know, what do they call it? The celebrity MMA thing.
Fame MMA.
Exactly.
Fame MMA. Yeah.
Freak fight is also.
It will be a great fun.
Oh yeah. Sure. I mean, I had my coach played my first game with me yesterday, so you know. I'm bringing the heat.
So now I need to prepare myself.
Oh, yeah, you should be scared, absolutely.
Sorry, I need to finish, I need to just train.
Yeah, exactly.
TTS no. Game and late night,
No time for trash talking, just practice. Okay, everyone, thank you. Stay tuned for more amazing content with my son and with other members of the Polish national team. We will soon be doing coverage or some build up before the LGT as well, because we are going to the LGT not only to play but also to report on it, and we will be doing a studio
Someone
there
has to work while the others are playing.
Yeah, while the others are embarrassing themselves, you wanted to say. So if you're interested in any of that, either the studio, my embarrassment, or Meissen winning the event, potentially, then do tune in, because we will be providing all this on our channel. Thank you very much. Until next time. Bye-bye.
See you.